Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Tass of Baltimore. We are Baltimore positively continuing the purple therapy here, and certainly therapy on the field, off the field for the fan base, and the purple sky is falling, and the realities of injuries out in Owings Mills. On Wednesday, we will be at Fadley's. I'll be healing my purple wounds with a delicious crab cake. I might even get two crab cakes. I'm probably going to take some fresh fish home. I brought some fish seasoning home I want to try. So we do that down at Fadley's. We will have Raven scratch-offs to give away from the Maryland Lottery. Hopefully this is a luckier batch than we've seen thus far on the field. Checking in on our GBMC hotline, he will have all the injury reports and the infirmary reports on the WNST tech service brought to you by Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. We welcome Luke Jones back on. And, you know, some point I'm going to get back to Pizza John's and do a show and try to make you happy and soothe your purple soul. But after what we've dealt with 6 months of baseball, I like a season that would go completely off the tracks would be really, really difficult, I think, for the fan base here, Luke.
And just shocking. I mean, just shocking that, look, we've talked about the January stuff for years, and, you know, whether we're talking about it again this January or not remains to be seen. They've got work to do to climb out.
These
of
are problems they don't have in Cleveland or other.
I mean, these are things that aren't even worth talking about right now. You know, forget about January. Like, you got to beat the Houston Texans. You got to figure out a way to beat the Rams and be 3-3 at the bye week. But I mean, it is, you know, when you look at it, how miserable this baseball season started out, and then the reality was they just could never recover, right? I mean, you know, they played like a 500 team from June on, but, you know, when you're 18 under Memorial Day weekend, 500 team the rest of the, you know, last 3 months of the season's not going to cut it. So you know, there was so much excitement, and as there always is, as there should be when you have a Lamar Jackson led team, you know, and we know how many games they've won in the regular season, regardless of what January has looked like and how that's played out. So for this to start the way it has, it's not just 1-3, but it's also the injuries and climbing out of this hole, knowing that you're banged up. And yes, you know, other than the Madubuike one, we're not talking about guys out for the year necessarily, and I'm not saying he's out for the year, but that's the one where that, you know, there's outside speculation and concern that it could be one of those. But the rest of these are hamstrings and ankles and things of that nature. I mean, the Stanley one's unsettling just because of his history with that ankle. I think that's, you know, because you've always wondered with someone like him with an injury like that that he dealt with multiple surgeries, all of that, you do worry at some point. And your hope was it was going to be later on, but there's always the concern of, like, when something like that just becomes chronic, right? You know, someone just wears down. I'm not saying that's what this is, but, you know, that thought crosses your mind. But where they stand right now, I mean, you got to try to get as many of these guys healthy as you can. I mean, I think Van Noy, there's a good chance I think he plays next Sunday. You know, Travis Jones practiced this week, so he didn't go Sunday, but he practiced 2 days. That would lead you to think that he's not overly far away. You know, Stanley, we'll see. He did a workout before the game, and, you know, what he, you know, was out after, what, the second series. So some of these other guys, it's hard to say. You know, you and I spent half a segment talking about Lamar, and just, you know, it's complete conjecture right now. You hope it's very, very minor to the point that he can play Sunday, but he might need a couple weeks. And if he does, what does that mean? You know, what does a Cooper Rush led team look like? But,
well, the D line was where it all began.
Right.
Right.
And
with Madubuike and then Jones and then
Roderick Washington.
Like, okay, so that alone concerned me enough to pick against them on Sunday. I thought that's a real problem. I mean, yeah. Madubuike alone would be a problem, but thinking about ordinary offenses gashing them and what Patrick Mahomes could do with Kelsey and with Smith-Schuster. I mean, just, you know, a complement of veteran players is what I would say with, and certainly with the center for the Chiefs being a Pro Bowler as well, what that was going to represent for problems controlling the line of scrimmage and therefore controlling the football, keeping the ball away from Lamar. Even if Lamar's perfect and Henry's, everything's perfect, if you don't give him the ball, then you don't have to worry about it. And can you chew clock? Are you going to move the sticks. I mean, all of that Mahomes with the baseball passes, the little darts that he likes to throw, the short 4 to 7 yard across the middle, fast baseball passes, the left or the underarm passes and the three quarters and all that. I thought that that would really be problematic for this front seven. And I think when you and I chatted on Friday before the game, we chatted at length about the front seven. That unto itself is problematic to me. Now, pile on Ronnie Stanley not being able to protect the quarterback, whomever the quarterback is. If the quarterback is not Lamar Jackson, now pile on Roquan Smith in street clothes in the second half of the game. And Marlon Humphrey hasn't been great when he's played. And now maybe it was an injury issue. You know, Lord
Who
knows I'd
knows?
never want to give him the benefit of the doubt because he'd never give it to me. But in the case of these key figures and what it means to see Kyle Hamilton showing up in the post game as the only guy that's going to come to the podium and sort of face the music about it, it is a, I don't want to say, where's the leadership? Do the Johnny Oates turn over the buffet? I know who the leaders are. They're Marlon Humphrey, Roquan Smith, Ronnie. You know, we'll go through the list.
Half of
These
them
are
are hurt right
the,
now.
yeah, maybe these are the leaders. And I'm wondering what happens. Start with the defensive line, but then second level, backside, depth. Who the hell are these guys? You know, who. I mean, a lot of these names by the time we got to the third quarter, certainly the fourth quarter, when sort of the towel had been thrown in, I'm looking at these guys and I'm like, can't possibly expect these guys to do the job that starters were doing in totality, let alone on a play-by-play basis against last year's AFC champs.
Playing on the road, it's hot. I
Down
mean,
three touchdowns by the time you get
all that,
in.
no question. I mean, you know this. I mean, this isn't our first rodeo talking about injuries. I mean, we spent 2/3 of the baseball season talking about injuries, but you know, specifically with the Ravens, I mean, I think back to 2021, I think back to 2015, and you know, football teams love their slogans, right? Next man up, next man
John
up,
used that
next man.
at halftime.
Yeah, I mean.
John went with it.
No, you can't throw in the towel, right? You have to rally the guys. And part of that is also you as a coach or as a teammate, you can't publicly just say, "Oh yeah, our backups stink." You know, like you have to
Part of
show.
John's charm in winning all these preseason games is the backups don't stink here, allegedly.
They don't, but
They're not starters.
that still doesn't mean you want them playing against the defending AFC champion and the team that's been the dynasty over the last 6 years. But yeah, I mean, you look at this and that's part of the challenge for the defense specifically. I mean, obviously Lamar is a huge discussion, you know, what your offense looks like with Cooper Rush compared to Lamar Jackson. Obviously Ronnie Stanley is a, but just the sheer volume of guys that this defense was missing come the second half of Sunday's game. And take into account what you had mentioned as far as the guys that were out even before the game started. That's where you are looking at Zach Orr, Chuck Pagano, the rest of that defensive coaching staff, and you kind of have to drill down. And this is easier said than done because the group wasn't playing well before these injuries, right? So that's part of the, you know, the systemic concern about
Well, now
this.
you're playing guys you didn't want to play to
But
begin with.
now you're in a position where, I mean, you think about what their defensive line was on Sunday. You had Josh Jen or John Jenkins, who was kind of the bright spot of the Detroit game. He played well. He was their one defensive lineman
He's
who
a
I thought
veteran guy.
played well. Yeah, he's 36 years old. You know, now that leaves you to some concern as far as how old he is and you know how much tread's left on the tires, especially now he moves into a starting role like he did. But you had him. You had Brent Urban, who has been around. I know he was just promoted from the practice squad, but he's been around here a long time, right? I mean, he came in 2.5 weeks into training camp, whatever it was. You know, Brent Urban is what he is as far as, you know, what you're going to get out of him, but you at least know him and you trust him as much as you can trust a player in that position. But you look at the rest of this. CJ Okoye was playing his first NFL game on Sunday. I mean, this is the kid, remember, we talked about for a little while in the preseason in terms of, you know, hasn't played football a long time, good story, you know, what was on the Chargers practice squad for a couple years and like the Ravens liked him enough to, want him back on the practice squad. They were happy he cleared waivers, but he's green. You know, he's this massive individual, but he's green. Like, he's not someone you want out there playing against the Kansas City Chiefs or the Houston Texans right now. You know, maybe a silver lining is he'll learn and develop in the process of this. I mean, you kind of, you know, it was funny for all the talk about Xavier Worthy coming back for the Chiefs, and obviously he played well. Tyquan Thornton has, you know, through some of the adversity that they faced the first few weeks, he's kind of like becoming a nice player for them, you know, caught a touchdown in that game. So you're hoping maybe there's a long-term silver lining with some of this, but in the short term, you're not just trying to figure out who's available. You're also figuring out what can we call, what can we put together in terms of a defensive game plan that is going to make sense when you're talking about such inexperienced guys that are playing for you. You know, it's one thing when it's the bullets are flying in real time and these guys go down with injuries in game, but you know, privately, they'll probably have a pretty good idea by Wednesday whether Roquan Smith has a chance to play this week, whether Marlon Humphrey has a chance to play this week. You know, go down the list, and you've got to figure out what you can do. Like, you when you don't have established veteran leaders, whether they've been playing well or not, you know, like as you mentioned with Marlon Humphrey, who has had a bad start to this year, you know, but even before he got hurt on Sunday. But it's still way different having him out there and things you might do with him rather than an undrafted rookie and Keon Martin playing the nickel for you next Sunday potentially. And look, he actually made a couple plays where you say, hey, good for him. Like, he played well enough to make the team. Like, he wasn't even a guy that was on their radar, and he forced
Wiggins
his way.
went out late too, and Wiggins was
And
having
that's,
trouble getting a call in at one point, right?
but yeah, but that, see, that's the one that concerns me, because if there is one thing prior to, you know, and obviously the floodgates opened on Sunday, right? I mean, I so little. I mean, maybe I'll be able to identify a couple things that were positive about their defense over the course of 60 minutes on Sunday, but I mean, it was just horrible, right? I mean. But if there was one thing through the first three games that I thought their defense could hang its hat on a little more, I thought it was Wiggins. And, you know, I'd also say maybe not to the same degree, but Awuzie, I thought the outside corner coverage had been mostly pretty good, right? Jaire Alexander in the fourth quarter of the Buffalo game aside, I think that's something that had worked pretty well for them. But now with Wiggins, when, you know, his arm's in a sling and, you know, it's an elbow, whatever it is, I mean, you know, Harbaugh said none of their injuries look right off the bat like they were concerned that they were like out for the year kind of things. But, you know, if you don't have Nate Wiggins and you don't have Marlon Humphrey, then okay, you've got Awuzie. I, you know, Jaire Alexander, let's see how you look. You've been a healthy scratch 3 weeks trying to work your way back into, you know, this is why we signed you, right? So, but you kind of have to look at it from a coaching standpoint. Yeah, you need to make adjustments to be better, but just how much adjusting can you do in terms of complexity and what these guys can even handle, you
Or
know,
just that
in
they're going
terms.
to get overwhelmed in
Yeah, that's what,
one-on-one battles physically.
one-on-one battles, or just, you know, how comfortable are they with the fully expansive defensive system of the Baltimore Ravens, right? I mean, we can all think back to 2021, Wink Martindale's last year as defensive coordinator. We all remember that Bears game. He had Chris Westry, who you probably have forgotten that name, on an island when they ran a cover zero blitz and they had him on outside coverage in crunch time. Now, the Ravens still found a way to win that game, but there was a perfect example of, like, and that was part of Wink's demise, you know, like, you know, when you just kind of sum it up that last year, yeah, they were so injured, but you know, Wink never really showed an app, you know, an ability to adapt based on what the personnel was. And look, he might
Yeah,
tell
this
you,
is what we're going to do, whether we can do it or not,
and the truth
right?
serum might be that, what do you want me to do? You know, like, are we just going to play a basic cover two and then like teams will
Get
just
beat that way, right?
gash us that?
Yeah.
So it is tough. Like, this is not ideal. Like, and John Harbaugh talked about it in the post game, you know, having a chance to listen to his comments. Like, he kept alluding to the circumstances they're dealing with right now. You know what he's talking about there? It's the injuries. Now, again, that doesn't excuse the poor play even before these injuries started mounting. But what it does concern you is you are now in a 1-3 hole that is not insurmountable by any stretch of the imagination, but You're already kind of, early season behind the eight ball, so to speak. And now you're in this position where how much can you really trust to put on the plate of some of these guys that are replacing? Because as I made mention of next man up, you can only say that so many times until like it's a t-shirt slogan and it sounds cute. It's a rallying cry. And yeah, you're going to say it publicly, but
At the end of that football game on Sunday in Kansas City, I had my rightful press pass and a belly full of barbecue, and gone through there, I think it's alarming the amount of injuries they had during that football
Sure.
game and to whom it happened to. Alarming and unprecedented. Unprecedented.
I mean,
In
they've
one
had.
game, got guys that chin strapped up for kickoff and were good enough to play, including Ronnie Stanley, who I thought that was the biggest problem. When Stanley two series, he's out. That's really bad. I'm thinking that's really bad. That's not good. In addition to everything that happened to the D line, and next thing you know, Roquan's out. Marlon's in the tent. Wiggins has an elbow, and then Lamar's got. I mean, God. I
I
mean,
mean
wow.
it's tough in an in-game scenario. I mean, but at the same time, I also have the memory of 2021 when what was it about a 10-day period before the season even started, but it was right before the season started that they lost J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards, Justice Hill. So their top three running backs were all gone before you played a game. And if you recall, Gus Edwards and Marcus Peters literally had season-ending ACL injuries within like a couple minutes of each other, to the point where like they ended that practice early. Like media wasn't out there for it, but they ended that practice early because guys were like literally that distraught. So they've had some, but in terms of just that many in game, and then like you're swimming upstream. I mean, you're already swimming upstream going into the game with the guys that were out on their defensive front, but then what happens in game? Yeah, like it's I
Dude,
can't.
it's all your fault because you kept saying all summer they're really healthy last year. They're really healthy. They were healthy, 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 healthy. Do you know how healthy they were?
Well,
Wow,
but
we look up here, it's not even October.
you remember my comment to that was that's why it hurt to not break through last year, because they were probably as healthy as they've ever been in the history of the franchise. And I get it. The timing of the Zay Flowers injury, that was crummy. And sure, that had an impact. I mean, maybe they beat Buffalo if Zay Flowers is healthy that night. But we also know injuries are part of the game. And you're seeing how the other side of it is, compared to what it was last year. I mean, go back to the spring. We talked about it at the time. I mean, we kind of have forgotten, like, they lost Ardarius Washington, who was one of the big figures that helped their defensive turnaround last November and December. Not saying like he's an all-pro,
He would
but
have been an 80% snap guy for this offense this year.
well, for the defense, but
D defense, I'm sorry.
no, I
Okay.
knew what you meant. I just wanted to clarify. But yeah, because I think the way they really wanted to play, and this to me is also where I start to look at even some of their problems defensively before these injuries started piling up. Keep in mind, they had Ardarius Washington, and then they drafted Malachi Starks. Over the last 5 years or so, when the Ravens have been at their best defensively, they've played a lot of three safety ball, right? And doing that allowed them, especially, 2023, 2022 to a lesser extent, because he was a rookie still. And they didn't try to put too much on his plate. But 2023, the way they could move Kyle Hamilton around to the degree that they did, they've lost that ability going back to last year when Marcus Williams was so bad that they had to bench him. And then Hamilton played more of a conventional
He
safety.
hasn't been as much of a factor in
He
these
hasn't been that
games.
splash guy, right? I mean, and it's not even that he's played poorly. I thought he had a bad game against Detroit, and
But
Kansas
it's
City.
not his job to flow to the ball anymore.
Right. I mean, like, just to be that kind of like that wild card player. But when they lost Ardarius Washington, now, like, and I don't want to completely, like, hey, they could have added a veteran safety. Like, there were veteran safeties out there. I mean, but the point is, they instead now have pivoted back to being corner heavy when they go, nickel, three corners. And when they've played dime so far this year, it's been four corners. And we even saw that on Sunday when, before Humphrey exited, when they went dime, you have TJ Tampa come play on the outside. And then they have Awuzie and Marlon both playing inside, kind of slot corner, nickel and dime. I think in this day and age, when teams are in nickel and even in dime as much as they are, I think it's problematic when you're relying on corners to do that. And I think that's where, and I can't even say that I would fault them for this because I've been surprised by it. Like, even before he got hurt, Marlon Humphrey's been bad this year. Like, missed tackles. I
And
mean,
the other thing is when a guy like that isn't locked down and it's not Revis Island out
it
there,
hurts.
you are a lot less likely to say to TJ Tampa, we're going to have a package where you blitz, or Kyle Hamilton, just go run
Sure.
wild and blitz the quarterback on every play. Go to
Yeah.
the ball, go to the ball, go to the ball, model the quarterback, stay on him, go to the ball, go to the ball. There's none of that when the ball's going to go over your corner's heads. And most importantly, you can't get home with a rush.
I was just going to say, I mean, that lends itself to probably needing to rely on four-man rushes way more than you want to. And they don't have the personnel for, especially without Matt Ebike on the
No
field,
doubt.
they don't have the personnel to do. So, look,
We're four games into this. They've had no pass rush.
the
That's one thing
cynic,
we can say
the most
across
ticked,
a month.
the most ticked off Ravens fan right now would say, oh, Nestor and Luke sound like they're just making excuses for Zach Orr. Zach, like, everything's been bad, including the coaching, right? Like, everything has been bad, like, really bad on defense, even before these injuries started piling up. But now, when you're just living in the reality of the moment of how many of these guys are going to be available or not for at least the next week or two, at least until you get to the bye week, and then you hope that everyone other than maybe Matt Ebike has a chance to rest up, and you can kind of view it as a reset then. But in the meantime, you need to try to win at least, you want to win both these games. You better win at least one of them. But what exactly can you do when you're facing the possibility, let's say, of not having some of these guys? And when you're talking about a couple guys in the secondary, and then your Mike linebacker, and knowing what that means, regardless of, whether you've loved how Roquan's played, even going back to last year, whether he's been at his absolute best or not, it's still Roquan Smith compared to rookie Teddy Buchanan, Trenton Simpson, who's been benched twice now over the last calendar year. And they had Jake Hummel playing linebacker. He's one of their special teams aces. And look, maybe Jake Hummel will be able to do a little bit better than people thought, if it comes to that. But this is not how you built your football team. So, I mean, again, there's a lot of right now. One, what's the infirmary report looking like, and how many of these guys can practically play this coming Sunday? Because obviously, this is a incredibly important football game, in a lot of ways, in the standings, and I just think mentally at this point, you don't want to have that mental and emotional spiral continue, but. And I mean, when you're talking about some of the personnel that we are laying out there right now, I mean, what exactly can you do, in terms of disguise and pre-snap stuff that they like to do, and trying to manufacture pass rush when you don't have all your horses up front, and even when you do, it's a question of how good it is anyway.
I
I
don't
mean,
think anyone really understands how confused young players can be in that environment when they haven't played, right?
sure.
Like what those guys, what yellow stream they were pissing Sunday afternoon being out there with Patrick Mahomes and maybe even waking up hoping to get in the game. They all want to play. Then they get in
You're not really
and.
ready. You're not expecting that to happen,
Well,
right?
like watching Kobe Mayo's at bats earlier this year, or just in a general sense of you think you're ready, and then the bright lights come on, and you got to go play in that environment as a collective. I don't mean just one, any one of those names. You're giving me six names of guys on defense who are not names of any guy we ever wanted to have on the field, or names you and I have even spoken about here. And we do this for hours a week, and they're out playing against Patrick Mahomes on Sunday. Some of them may have to play again this week. And when you think about how multiple you can't be, how untrusting the coaches are in general, how much fire there already is for Zach Orr,
Sure.
to your point, it just really leads to a very uncomfortable franchise right now. It just really. This is, John Harbaugh. Everybody thinks he's such a great leader, Hall of Fame. He'll always be in the Hall of Shame to me. But this is where, big bucks, rally the troops, next man up, all of that stuff. They got real problems out there, dude. I mean, like,
Yeah,
and when your best players are hurt, you're screwed. This league.
I mean, the same would be true for any of the teams that aren't 1-3 right now, but would be 3-1 if they had the same number of injuries moving forward, but where you'd say they'd be in trouble. But yeah, I mean, the part that concerns me beyond the injuries, which, that's the short term, like obvious, no duh kind of statement, is, it's just, I think it's, you have to be really careful to, what's between the ears right now. I mean, just in terms of doubt, in terms of
Well,
what
you and
you,
I doubt, right?
well, yeah, sure, but I'm just, look, those guys, they know they're 1-3. I mean,
And they know they're playing a bunch of backups.
right. And they know that the bye is a couple weeks away still. And, Houston may be 1-3, but that's a team that was in the playoffs last year. And, certainly you're telling me that DeMeco Ryans and Houston, these next couple of days, like that coaching staff before those guys come back in Tuesday or Wednesday or whatever, they're licking their chops looking at the state of the Baltimore Ravens right now. They're looking at this as a
They
way
are
to prepare.
facing a different team than the team that we thought for 6 months they were going to face. No question.
And in some way, the Ravens are looking at it and saying, well, at least Houston's not 4-0 and firing on all cylinders themselves right now. But
But to your point, it doesn't diminish the
it's just,
expectations of the fan
yeah.
base here and the level of
Well,
disappointment after Sunday night.
and I alluded to this talking about, my between the ears comment. Look, we've talked about this team with some of their late fourth quarter leads, over the last few years where that has happened more than it should. And we've certainly talked about January, but what they're in right now, and like I said, 5 years ago, yeah, they had a stretch where they lost 3 out of 4, with Lamar upright. And then on the back end of that was when they had the COVID outbreak for that crazy post-Thanksgiving Wednesday afternoon Steelers game. So, that season was just so strange in and of itself. Like the camaraderie wasn't the same for all those guys, all of that, right? So it's almost like not an asterisk, because like it was a real season, but it was certainly a different season than what you're dealing with right now. But losing 3 out of 4 in November, when you've gotten off to a certain requisite start that has you firmly in playoff position and contending for the division or leading the division or whatever it might be, it is way different when you're 1-3. And when you think about this team, this current era, this isn't the kind of adversity that they generally, that it's generally been their forte to handle very well. But one, they have, like, none of these guys were around in 2015, right? I mean, Brent Urban was in a second year, like, in, injured, like,
Zach Orr
yeah,
was
come
on the
on.
team.
Yeah, Zach Orr was on the team. But the point is, like, this group hasn't been through something like this early in a season, and really something like this in the regular season, right? I mean, say what you want about January, like, you have a bad day, it's over, right? Like there's not like a multi-week
There's
process
no
of that.
negotiation on
Like,
that,
yeah,
right?
like there's no like coming back the next week when you lose in Buffalo or lose to Kansas City, like the last 2 seasons. So, and again, that was one of the reasons why I did pick Kansas City on Sunday, not thinking it'd be a blowout like it ended up being, or how humbling and how awful this performance was, but just in terms of, they kind of went through that. They had that big, that December 2 years ago. Remember, they lost to the Raiders on Christmas Day, and like everyone thought they were dead, like thought they were dead in the water, and they picked themselves up and they ended up winning a Super Bowl. Now, this is not me saying the Ravens are not capable of doing something like that over the next 3.5 months. Who the heck knows what's going to happen? But the Raven, like, this is very rare, uncharted territory for the Lamar Jackson era Ravens to kind of be in this kind of position. They have just, for the most part, even with their occasional fourth quarter collapse type games, for the most part, week in and week out, like they're just so used to winning.
But
right? I
they
mean,
out-talent you most weeks, and they
but
can't
like,
do that without
and
their
right,
talent.
they can't do that right now. And you know, again, whether that talent was playing up to its potential or not, I mean, you know, but 1-3 is 1-3. And I think you just, man, you can't start doubting yourself. And boy, that's an easy thing for me to say as I'm just sitting here at my dining room table talking about it, you know, and watching it from the sideline during practices and all that. But I just think there, you really run the risk of guys starting to lose confidence in one another. And that's, you know, that's just, it's not a good place to be on top of the injuries, right? So, you know, it's, we're gonna find out some things this week. I mean, it's who among the players that are healthy, who's gonna step up? I mean, you know, they had one sack on Sunday. It was Tavius Robinson, right? I mean, they need guys like him to step up. I mean, I'll give you one that, go back and read my 12 thoughts going into the Sunday's game. Where's Udafe Owe?
He's playing for a lot of money.
He's making $13 million this year. Now, we can certainly debate whether, you know, I mean, that wasn't completely in a vacuum. It's a fifth-year option, and the Ravens being where they are, and the fact that they haven't signed him to a long-term deal, I think tells you they view him more as like a guy that keep around an extra year, but we're not going to marry long-term. Like I don't think I'm talking out of turn
But
speculating
he
that
was
way.
hoping to get a dozen sacks this year and to go out in the market and get
And
an
like
$80 million deal.
you need him right now. And where's he been? I mean, I've seen him flash, you know, he's had some quarterback hits here and there the last few weeks, but certainly not making a big
There's
impact.
never been a point where I thought he's a dominant player,
No, I
and I
mean,
notice
I
him
think he's
even when he sacks.
more fine player than, you know, than certain, and that's why I think that's why you're not seeing them give him an $80 million contract, right? I mean, but those are the kind of guys, if you're going to endure these next couple of weeks, assuming you're going to be out without at least a couple of these guys here and there, you know, considering Roquan Smith was ruled out coming out of halftime, I don't want to say it's impossible, but generally speaking, Nestor, that's generally not a circumstance where you're expecting the guy to play the next week. Same with Humphrey with a calf. Now, maybe not. Maybe they will be ready. And if they are, then great. Good. You know, that's better for this Ravens defense. But the Texans are going to be there at 1 o'clock next Sunday. So you've got to try to figure out the best way you can to prepare. And some of these young guys, to the point that you made a few minutes ago, you know, these young guys are going to be in a different position this week where some of them are going to know, like, hey, like I'm playing this week. You know, I mean, might be Keon Martin saying, hey, I need to be the nickel this week. Or, you know, they're at least going to have me split snaps with Kyle Hamilton. And maybe they put Sanusi Kane at safety with Malachi Starks. And they try to play things that way because they need to be more physical with their front seven, you know, than putting an undersized, undrafted rookie at the nickel. So we'll see what those decisions ultimately look like next Sunday. But, you know, you have to hope that the coaching staff can come up, and this is either side of the ball, you know, especially with the big Lamar question. But you've got to come up with a game plan that's appropriate for the guys that you have out there, while also recognizing that it can't be so vanilla that you make things incredibly easy for CJ Stroud and the Texans offense, or that Texans defense that can still is still capable of flying around, you know, especially if you're not going to have Lamar out there. So, man, it's not going to be a fun week in Owings Mills. That's for sure. I mean, I think guys are going to be tight. You know, I think you try to be as loose as you can, but you know the magnitude of where you are when it's 1-3. No, see, not season's not over by a long shot, but yeah, start winning some football
Yeah, I'm
games. You
not
know, I mean,
even
it's just that
like
simple.
I
Like,
stopped
forget about it.
scoreboard watching. Like
Yeah.
the Chargers, I was worried about them winning or losing, and the Steelers. I mean, if you're gonna
I
lose every week, it doesn't matter what the Steelers do.
did have to laugh though at one, the Chargers kind of doing a Charger type thing, right? Even if it's Jim Harbaugh, that felt very the way you've thought about the Chargers for
I
forever.
said to my wife, "Do you know how many times the San Diego Chargers played a 1 o'clock East Coast game
I
and got
mean, just
overwhelmed?
they might as well just, yeah.
The Seattle Seahawks, all those teams have always had that
But you
problem."
think about that through the lens of what this game meant. And that's why I said, I mean, Kansas City was the team that had more urgency here. And I was saying that with an assumption that the Chargers would win, and I was wrong. So, but you look at that now, they're 2-2. They're one game behind the Chargers. And suddenly their offense comes to life. Now, how much of that was the terrible Ravens defense? Well, we'll find out over the next few weeks. But suddenly the Chiefs look like the Chiefs again, and the Ravens are unrecognizable right now, right? In terms of what this is.
Unrecognizable. I might use that.
I mean, it's kind of the, I mean, and again, this even goes back to like their, whatever they want their identity to be. I know I'm harping on it, and I've harped on it on three different pieces that you and I have done, breaking down this game, but I keep going back to that first drive of the second half. Third and three, and you take Derrick Henry off the field. You need a touchdown, and you take Derrick Henry off the field. I mean, like what are you trying to be right there? I mean, that's a finesse team thing. Like that reminds me of like the 2000 St. Louis Rams right there. It would do something like that, not the Baltimore Ravens. So, and I get it, your offensive line's not playing at a high level right now, but what, so you're not even going to try? It's not like you're pass protecting that well either. So like, what are we talking about here? I'll take my chances with Derrick Henry trying to get 3 yards on two plays than what they did.
You
So
know, is there anything we could say that maybe Mark Andrews has come back to life a little bit? I'm trying to
yeah.
because we're waiting on Ricard to get back. We're waiting
Yeah.
on likely to become a factor, right? Like, I mean, and now we're at the top of this, like, is Lamar going to be healthy enough to play this week? We
Sure.
start with that and then work our way through, well, Ronnie Stanley, and then and then Wiggins and Humphrey and Roquan, and the guys we know aren't coming back on the D line. So I know the pass rush and the run defense is going to be suspect. I can count on that for Sunday for CJ Stroud. But the rest of this, like, if you're the Texans scouting this, you're looking at this and saying, all right, Kyle Hamilton still looks like he's running around at full speed. Worry about him a little bit. We obviously have to worry about Lamar or Cooper Rush or what kind of offense they're going to have. But I don't know who's playing well. I mean, I'm looking up and down the roster and saying, who's having a good year here on a 1-3 Ravens team?
Well, I mean, if we're going to talk about the full body of work, I mean, until the last 5 quarters or so, Lamar had been playing very well, but is he going to be out there Sunday? Linderbaum, I think, has played well overall.
Offensive line has not had the holding in the call. Penalty
Yeah.
wise, they've cleaned a lot of that up.
Yeah,
They have.
they have cleaned that up, but they're still not playing great though. I mean, they're not playing very well.
They're not playing great. I hear what you're saying,
Yeah.
but they're
It's
not in
been it,
first and 20 and
it's
first and
been
25 a
cleaner. Yeah,
lot.
they
Yeah.
haven't had a ton of penalties. Rosengarten lined up,
Off the line,
was
yeah.
off the line, but they haven't had too much of that. They had a lot of that early last year. I mean, the two delay of games were just, I don't know. I'd have to, I want, I'd like to go back and look at it as you and I are talking in real time. I don't know if Lamar was just trying to do too much in the final 10 seconds of the play clock, where it's just like, hey, you're on the road. Like you can keep searching for the absolute perfect play, but don't let good be the enemy of perfect in those situations. 'Cause you lose 5 yards there, then like whatever you were going to pick doesn't, it's a moot point then. So again, I'm not sure, maybe that was Monken, maybe that was Lamar, who knows? And obviously crowd noise in Kansas City is a given, but just kind of going through the list. I mean, Justice Hill had a couple nice plays. I mean, that was good to see. I mean, sure. I mean, and let me be clear. When I've made my comments here about taking Derrick Henry off the field, it's not to say that I don't like Justice Hill, or I wouldn't like to see Keaton Mitchell involved, for example. If you get him up and active for game day, but it's like I said, you look at their point total right now. They're one of the highest scoring teams in the league, but the sum doesn't feel as great as all those parts because it's just been so up and down. It like high variance is the term that I've been using a lot. Whereas like last year, steady, like great, but steady great. 2 years ago, wasn't always great and extremely explosive, but boy, it was really efficient. It was just so efficient. They sustained drives and they
But
were
no
excellent with
negative
them.
plays
Yeah.
either in
Whereas
regards
this
to
is like,
incompletions and or sacks and or runs for loss
yeah.
or runs that were negligible. You know,
Well,
2 yards on first down doesn't, yeah, that's not going to get it done in this offense, and it's not what's made this thing the revolution that John has talked about.
yeah. So, I mean, it's just, I mean, they, let me be clear. They still have, and right now it's harder to see because they have guys banged up and out of the lineup and everything. When if and when, and assuming they get most of these guys back at some point in the not too distant future, I still think this is a heck of a talented football team. Whether they were truly the best roster or any of that stuff we were talking about 3 weeks ago or not, who cares at this point? Like, to your point, scoreboard watching is kind of a, it's moot right now
The only
until you.
scoreboard you need to watch this week at 1 o'clock, they
Your
need to be
own.
2 and 3.
Your
That's
own.
it.
Yeah, no question.
Yeah.
So, I just mentioned the saving grace does, I'm still not. I'm sorry, the Steelers aren't going 14-3. They're just not. But that said, neither are the Ravens at this point, because if they were going to, that means they'd win their next 13 games. So expectations as an outsider need to be adjusted. And like I said, you can throw that stuff out the window right now. You got to figure out how to beat the Houston Texans with
Well, they
whoever
are
is
not
on
a
the field.
playoff team right now. They're going to have to
No,
earn
they're
being
one
a
and three.
playoff team,
Sure.
man.
I mean, like, if you're going to ask me to predict yes or no, do I think they'll make the playoffs at the end of the year? I'll say yes. But do I feel very good about that right now? Of course not, right? I mean, like, they're 1-3. So you've got to earn that. And that's where, as I'm working on at BaltimorePositive.com, you could talk about the benefit of the doubt after the Buffalo game. You could even talk about the benefit of the doubt after the Detroit game. And go look. Look how many pundits were picking the Ravens to beat the Chiefs this week. And like I said, I was genuinely surprised by that. And not just because I picked Kansas City. I picked them to win a close game. I thought it was going to be more of a coin flip kind of game. And I thought the home team, the healthier team, the more tested team, the smarter team. And I don't mean that the Ravens are definitively dumb, but Kansas City's a smarter football team, has been over the last 5 years. That's why they win as many close games as they do, and the Ravens lose a lot of those close games. But man, it's they've got to find toughness. Like, they've got to find, like, you've got to find it's gut check time this week. Yeah, whoever's going to be out there, because you've got to find a way. Like, you just do. They're not going to postpone the game. I mean, they're just not. Whether Lamar's out there or not, whether Roquan Smith is out there or not, or Ronnie Stanley or Marlon Humphrey, go down the list. We know Matt Ibike is not going to be out there. So they've got, man, this is a week where honestly there need to be some tough conversations, and
Well, they're going to play a lot of backups this week. I mean,
yeah.
I can't think that everybody's
I
going to
mean,
make it the
it doesn't
course.
mean everyone's going to be out, but yeah, I mean, we've already talked about it. The defensive line. I mean, they were missing their three starters on Sunday. Now, like I said, I would hope Travis Jones is back, because he practiced late last week. I mean, generally speaking, that, even if he's not going to go that week, that's generally a good sign for the following week. But you're not having Matt Ibike, you're not having Broderick Washington, so you're going to be counting on some combination of some of these, either less experienced
What
or.
about Van Noy? Where's he?
I would think because he practiced on a limited basis and he did a workout pre-game, according to the reporters that were in Kansas City. I would think that should bode pretty well for his status this
Alexander's
week.
another guy that on the back end, they're going to need him
I
swinging
mean,
his
like,
arms in a sling.
I kind of feel with him, like, it kind of feels now or never, right? In terms of, like, if he's still not healthy enough to play. And let's be clear, he has not been on the injury report the last 2 weeks. I think this is much more of a, they didn't like what they saw in week one. They acknowledged that he missed a lot of training camp. He's coming off of a PCL injury in his knee that cost him half of last season. If we can all think back to, and I'll use him just as one example, Breshad Perriman had a PCL injury that, it took him a couple, we saw. Even though he never lived up to the original expectations, but it took him a couple years just to get on the field and look like an NFL wide receiver, even because that's a tricky injury. It's not like this catastrophic ACL or meniscus where you're talking about cartilage deteriorating or anything like that, but it's one of those that can be slow healing. And that guy's had a lot of baggage in terms of the injuries. It's why he was available for $4 million in mid-June, as we said at the time. But when you talk about it now, if you're in a position where Wiggins might not be able to play and Humphrey might not be able to play, like, Jaire Alexander's got to go out there and give them something. If he can't, then you start to question, like, why is he even on the team? You know what I mean? Like, because if he hasn't been on the injury report the last couple of weeks, that tells you he's healthy enough to play, even if the question is, building up to being effective enough to play at a high level, right? I use this all the time. I say there's a difference between being healthy enough to play in a football game and being healthy enough to truly thrive in a
But
football
that
game.
job with the PCL, cutting, moving,
You know,
left, right,
it's tricky.
lateral, backwards, all of that, right?
I mean, like, hey, their issues playing against the Dallas Cowboys aside on Sunday night, the Green Bay Packers generally aren't in the business of getting rid of really good football players. He was their Marlon Humphrey. Now, he was scheduled to make a heck of a lot of money this year, and I think all things being equal, they would have much preferred working out some kind of pay cut, restructure, you know, incentives, all that. And it just, you know, it got to the point where it was a divorce, right? It hurt feelings, and he wasn't happy with how they handled his injury, you know, allegedly last year and all that. But point is, the Packers clearly didn't have a whole lot of confidence that he was anywhere close to the guy that he used to be. And that doesn't mean that Jaire Alexander can't come in Sunday and play well, or a month from now playing at a high level, whatever. But you look at the state of the cornerback position right now and you say, if not now, then when? You know, I mean, if he's still not close now to being good enough to helping you, then man, good luck, TJ Tampa and Keon Martin and whoever else you might try to call up from the practice squad or sign off the street, right? I mean, so, you know, it's not great. It's not. And I'm saying that as the guy that's also saying season's not over, it's 13 games to go, and that's all still very true. I wholeheartedly reject any notion that the season is completely going down the tubes and they're completely, you know what. But man, you've got to find a way to start turning the tide here, and at least, you know, like I said, even if all these guys are going to be out the next 2 weeks, you must find a way to win one of those at the very least. Like, the bare minimum has to be 2-4. You know, you want to get to 3-3, obviously. But if you are going to have all these guys banged up and Lamar being at the top of the list, you know, you also need to be realistic. But they've got to find a way to win a football game here. And, you know, it starts Sunday against the Texans, and maybe some guys will be back, maybe not, but they've got to. You know, egos need to be put aside, and you know that for coaches too, mind you. Sometimes it's, hey, I need some help with
Well,
this,
it's
or
not
hey,
good times for Zach Orr right
it's
now, Chuck
not.
Pagano, right? It's
It's
not even really
not.
good times for Monken either, because that hasn't worked out well. And I think to some degree, the offensive line, both of these lines, I mean, it just, we'll continue on. And we've been at it for hours. They still lost to Kansas City, still 1-3. Luke's going to have injury reports. All are brought to you by our friends at GBMC. The tech service is alive and well. That's brought to you by our friends at Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. I am bringing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road. I will have the matted Raven scratch-offs to give away at Fadley's on Wednesday this week. We'll be at Costas and Timonium next Monday after the Houston game, trying to get back on the ball, get some guests out, continue conversations above and beyond football that are very, very important in regard to democracy, in regard to our military, in regard to just all sorts of things that I'm quite mouthy about around the clock. But when the football team's 1-3, we have our own. I bring all of my military leaders in to discuss whatever we're going to be doing against Houston this week. So Luke will be out in Owings Mills. I am here watching baseball at 1-3 and 6 and 9 and Red Sox and Yankees and Dodgers and Padres and all that good stuff. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore positive.